becomes the king when he's 8 years old. His father was a very horrific person, but his grandfather was even worse. Amon and Menashe, respectively. And Yoshiyahu had every excuse imaginable not to become the person that he was. Ben Shmona Shana Yoshiyahu ben Malcho, Shoshim Ve'acha Shana Malach B'Yushalayim, V'Shem Imo, Yedida Vata Dayami Botzkas. So Yoshiyahu was thrust into the role of Melech at an extremely tender age, 8 years old. Yoshiyahu had, again, like I said, you know, none of the right role models, father and grandfather. But that's going to be a very important piece of the puzzle, is that Yoshiyahu, to become the person that he became, had to really want to be that person. Okay, so let's file that away. That, I'd say, is the first of the seven major points that I want to try to develop tonight. They're going to all interact with each other, hopefully. Vayasa yashar bein Adonai, vayilech b'chol derech David aviv, v'lo sar, yamin u'smol. So the second pasuk of this section tells us that Yoshiyahu did not deviate left or right. Obviously, a reference to what we read on Shabbos. Al pi ha-Torah asher yarucha ve'al mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh, lo tasar min ha-davar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. But the Navi actually has, I think, a deeper idea in mind, because that's a reference to the Beis Din HaGadol, right? The Beis Din HaGadol, you know, is able to direct us. The issue with Yoshiyahu is that he doesn't deviate left or right, but like there's hardly anybody to tell him what to do. That's even more remarkable. And I think, that's why I bolded it, the Navi is signaling to us how impressive Yoshiyahu is. His father and his grandfather, as just stated, were wicked people. They were Rishayim. His grandfather, Menashe, was, you know, amongst the most significant Rishayim in Jewish history. And yet, when he thinks about his father, who's his father? It says, Vayelech b'chol derech David aviv. So he goes back 10 generations to David to find the father figure. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. So I'd like to highlight that as kind of the second point. Of Yoshiyahu is that, you know, there's a lot of, again, there's a lot of excuses that he could have had, that he did have, but in terms of his character, his persona, so the impression that you get from the very beginning is if he needs to create a father for himself, he'll do that. V'lo sar yamin u'smol, and holding up that model, he won't deviate left or right. Now, this, too, I think, is a starting point to appreciate Yoshiyahu's tshuva movement, but it's hardly the end point, because when we talk about somebody not deviating left or right, there's something, in a sense, passive about that. You know, you're receiving and following instruction, which is laudable. But we'll see that Yoshiyahu grows and grows markedly, profoundly, even from this point. So, Vayhi b'shmona esrei shana lemelech Yoshiyahu, shalach hamelech et Shafan ben Atzalyahu ben Meshulam asofer, beit Adonai limor aleil Chilkiyahu hakohen hagadol. Chilkiyahu is the Kohen Gadol. As happens in Sefer Melachim, when the king is very young, the Kohen Gadol is typically the spiritual director. So gather all the money together. There had been some, you know, loose accounting. So this is yet another, I think, really, really important point to reflect on. The whole process begins with kind of an accident of sorts, that Yoshiyahu doesn't know very much, but he knows that, you know, there's a Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was in disrepair, and it's important, the Chazek Bedek Habayis. So he, you know, starts out with you know, relatively modest aim, an important aim for sure, but he's not looking to, you know, change the face of Jewish society. He thinks, you know, we should, you know, get the shul together. And this is, I think, another, like, a critical point in terms of how tshuva is and how tshuva works, is that the idea is to get into the door. And the idea is that, you know, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, and hevizar b'mitzvah kalakiva chamura, yinata yodeh matan tzchar and tzol mitzvos, not in the sense of a divine reward, but in the sense of what the impact is going to be. You know, somebody comes, to a shul for some kind of a secondary purpose. So, hopefully that can lead to things that would not have been imaginable, prima facie. And so that's a big part of the story. I'm going to call the third element I wanted to draw your attention to. So, Vayomer Chilkiyahu Kohen, Hagadol Shafan HaSofer, Sefer HaTorah Matzasi Veis Adonai, Vayiten Chilkiyahu as a Sefer El Shafan Veikreo. So famously, right, while they're cleaning everything out, so they find the Sefer Torah. It happens to be open to Sefer Dvarim. It happens to be open to the Tochacha, as is known. And the Sefer Torah, is kind of an object of curiosity, which gives you a sense of what Menashe and Amon had been able to, kind of havoc they were able to wreak on society. So Ve'aged Shafana Soverla Melech Lemor, Sefer Nasamli Chilkiyahu HaKohen Vayikreu Shafan Lifnei HaMelech. So a really fascinating thing is that, Shafan gets the Sefer Torah and he says, okay, well, we'll read it in front of the king. And there's nothing, about the way that Chilkiyahu reacted or even the way that Shafan the Sofer reacted, sort of like an object of curiosity. They read the Sefer Torah. As we know, they read from the section of the Tochacha, and the next pasuk is really the linchpin. It's the turning point. It's the seminal moment. So Yoshiyahu has this immediate reaction. He hears the Tochacha when he tears his clothes, and his sense of of horror is activated. And all of the other members of the cabinet, Lemor, Lechudir, Shuas Adonai, Badiu, Vada Am, Vada Kol Yehuda, Divrei Asefer, Nimsaze, Kigdola, Hamas Adonai, Asher Hinitzis Abanu, Alasher Lo Shamu, Avosin, Al Divrei Asefer, Aza, Vasos, Kechol Akasu, Valenu. And like a ton of bricks, it hits Yoshiyahu that terrible things are going to happen. And he immediately calls, for, further inquiry, for Drisha Sashem, Dir Shua Adonai Bimatso, Kraubio so karov, that's obviously here in the back of our minds. And Yoshiyahu doesn't miss the opportunity. And that's the fourth point that I wanted to draw our attention to, is that a lot of people can hear Sefer Torah being read, but not a lot of people, are gonna react to it. Or even if they, are moved in the moment, it's hard to sustain. What's so remarkable about Yoshiyahu is that he does not miss his pitch. He doesn't miss his opportunity. The Sefer Torah gets read, and he's never the same. And that's a remarkable thing. Life, in general, it has these moments where, a door opens and a person has an opportunity to step through. And it's the wise person who's perceptive enough to sense the meaning of that opportunity. Very often, people miss that opportunity, or even if they take it, then they don't sustain that. And that's, again, to Yoshio's enduring credit. Okay, so the initial mission of Drishas Hashem is led by Chilkiyahu, and I'll summarize it. They go to Chulda Hanaviyah. The Gemara Megillah has this famous comment that they could have gone to Yirmiyahu, but they were hoping for a little bit more of a compassionate report, so they went to Chulda. Sometimes women can have a softer touch. And she sends the message back to Yoshiyahu in no uncertain terms that it's too late. It's too late. But because Yoshiyahu showed a little bit of spirituality, this is the bolded part, Ya'an rach levavcha v'tikana b'bnei Adonai b'shav mecha asher dibarti al makom hazeh v'al yoshvav lios v'shamav likola v'tikras b'gadecha v'tivke lefanai v'gam anochi shamati neum Adonai l'chein hinini osivcha avosecha. You'll die v'nesavto kivrosecha b'shalom v'lo tirene inecha v'chol hara'a asher ani mevi al makom hazeh. So she says, okay, but because you sent this whole mission here, and you took it seriously, and you took the reading of the Torah seriously, it's all very nice. And so what's going to happen is God will do you the kindness that you'll at least die before everything is annihilated, and the Jewish people are defeated, and the Jewish people are exiled, and everything, you know, goes awry. So that's the message back. So at that point, you know, again, for another person, they would have said, all right, thank you very much. You know, she's a card-carrying Nevi'ah, she's a member of the union, you know, I guess we don't have very much more to do at this point, good that we tried. We did, as the saying goes, you know, we did our hishtadlus, and, you know, move on from there. But that's not who Yoshiyahu was. So Yoshiyahu's doggedness, his sense of if at first you don't succeed, you know, you have to just recommit yourself, is palpable. And he redoubles his efforts. So Vayishlach HaMelech, he goes ahead, Vayasfu Elav Kol Ziknei Yudav Yerushalayim, and he gathers the whole Jewish people together. Vayal HaMelech Beis Adonai V'chol Yish Yudav V'chol Yoshe Yerushalayim Yito, V'akonim V'anivim V'chol Am Mikaton V'ad Gadol, and he literally gathers everybody. Vayikra V'oz Nehem is called Divrei Sefer HaBris HaNimtza Beis Adonai. Basically simulates the personal experience that he had for the whole people. Vayamod HaMelech Al HaAmud, it's deeply reminiscent of the Hakel scene, right? He goes up on the Bima Shalates. Vayichros es habris lifnei Adonai lecha sachar Adonai v'lishmor mitzvosav v'seid vosav eschukosav b'chol lev v'chol nefesh lehakim. It's going to be a really important expression to uphold this divrei habris hazos haksuvim al sefer hazeh vayamod kolam bebris. So it's just exactly the opposite of what you would expect. It's totally unforeseen that Chulda Hanaviya says it's all too late, and Yoshiyahu says I'm just getting started. Those who discern herein a little bit of his great grandfather Chizkiyahu, afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavaro shel adam ayimanatz min harachem, I think are correct that this was Chizkiyahu's response when Yeshayahu told him tzavaveischa ki meisata, that you know it's all over and you're going to die, and you know Chizkiyahu said I'm just getting started. So Yoshiyahu obviously never met his great grandfather. But he's channeling a little bit of that unwillingness to take no for an answer when it comes to, you know, an absolutely catastrophic prognosis. So Vayitzav HaMelech is Chilkiyahu, Kohen HaGadol, Vez Kohenei HaMishnah. Remember, Chilkiyahu is, you know, his tutor. It was, you know, his mentor. But, you know, now it's not just, you know, Velo Sar Yaminu Smol. Okay, he didn't deviate left or right. But he's the one who's giving the orders. It's very reminiscent, in a sense, of the transition that the Lichtenstein Zatzal develops in Megillas Esther, where Esther goes from, you know, being the passive recipient of Mordechai's instructions, you know, to the one who's calling all the shots, and you know, Leich Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. You see that kind of a transition here. He's going to tell Chilkiyahu what to do and when to do it. Vayitzav HaMelech es Chilkiyahu Kohen HaGadol ves Kohen HaMishneh ves Shomrei Asaf. Remember, the Beis HaMikdash itself was overrun with Avodah Zarah. Vayisrafeim, v'hishbises akmarim. So this too, I think, is very noteworthy. The first move is not, asei tov. The first move is sur meira. And it's the expungement, the expiation, extirpation of all of the Avodah Zarah that had encroached on Jewish society. It's all destroyed. Vayisrofos avinachal kidron, vayadek la'afar, vayashlich safara al kever b'nei ha'am. The language here tracks almost verbatim with the language of the wake of the Egel Hazav, right? It's literally to that point where Yoshiyahu HaMelech is reaching the heights, says of Moshe Rabbeinu, in terms of resurrecting the Jewish people. And the hope is very great, right, that, you know, it can be effective. Now that the Sur Meira has been achieved, Vayitzav HaMelech Chesklam Lemor, Asu Pesach Adonai Leichem, Kachasuv Al Sefer HaBris Hazeh, Ki Lo Nasek HaPesach Hazeh Mimei HaShoftim Asher Shavtu Es Yisrael V'chol Yimei Malchei Yisrael U'Malchei Yuda, Ki Im B'Shmon Esrei Shana L'Malchei Yoshiyahu Nasa HaPesach Hazeh L'Adonai B'Yerushalayim, V'Gam Es Havos HaYidonim HaSatrafim V'Sagilulim V'Es Kol HaShikutzim Asher Niru Be'Eretz Yuda B'Yerushalayim, Bier Yoshio Leman Hakim is Divrei Torah Haksuvim Ala Sefer. So Yoshio has the Jewish people bring a Korban Pesach. A Korban Pesach that the Navi testified had not been done generation upon generation to generation. Not in the days of Shlomo, not in the days of David, not literally since all of the Shoftim, going back to Otniel ben Knaz, Presumably not since the days of Yoshua ben Nun. Right? It's interesting, in the Haftorahs that we read on Pesach, the first day is the Haftorah of Yoshua ben Nun and Gilgal, Galos Yischer Pas Mitzrayim Yaleichem in his Karban Pesach. Second day, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, we read the Karban Pesach of Yoshio. Point is that Yoshio was unprecedented. And the whole idea of the Korban Pesach, as we know, going back to the original Pesach Mitzrayim, is meant to be a repudiation of Avodah Zarah, right? Tovas Mitzrayim Kolor Reitzon. The idea is that we declared ourselves anti Avodah Zarah when we sacrificed the Korban Pesach. Mishchu kichu mishchu yideichem Avodah Zarah kichu es hamitzvah. So here too, it's almost that kind of a moment. The Jewish people are recommitting themselves completely through the leadership of Yoshiyahu to Yichud Hashem. The Navi testifies, V'chamolo ha'yilofanav melech asher shav elonai b'chol avo v'chol na'avsho v'chol me'odo k'chol Torah as-moshe v'acharav lokam kamohu. So the Navi tells us, and there's no debate about it, that in terms of somebody who turned to God, there was nobody before him, and there was nobody after him who came, to his level. And the Kina that we recite, on Tisha B'Av, this pasuk is cited, and it literally says Mimos HaVigdor, meaning from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. You couldn't say that anybody between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshiyahu had been this quality of a Jewish leader. That's a big statement, right? This isn't just David Aviv anymore. This isn't just Lo Sar Yaminu Smol. This is somebody who becomes the paragon. And yet, again, like as I said, it's not too little, but it was too late. This is the time period after Galus Malchus Yisrael, the son Cheriv, now Yehuda is going to be destroyed. Ma'asti Yisayir Azos Asher Bechart Yisrushalayim V'Sabayis Asher Amarti Yeshmi Sham. Aviyeser Divrei Yoshiyahu V'Chol Asher Asalim Ksuvim Al Sefer Divrei Hayamim L'Malchei Yehuda. And the end of the story, which the Navi doesn't deal with in any detail, but is described in the Gemara and Tainis that we'll look at. B'Yamav Al Ofaru Nechol Melech Mitzrayim Al Melech Ashur Al Nahar Pras. He died in battle against somebody named Paro Necho. Paro wanted to go to war against Bavel, try to preempt. Bavel was becoming more powerful than Mitzrayim, so the idea was for a preemptive strike. So they had to cross through Eretz Yisrael. Yoshiyahu objected. He died in that battle. Vayerkuvu Abadav Meis Megido Vayivu Yishulayim Vayikru Bikvaraso. Achaz bin Yoshiyahu was entirely a disappointment. So Gemara Tainis fills in a little bit what we don't have in the Navi, which says basically Paro Necho sent a message to Yoshiyahu: don't get in my way. You know, I have no interest in attacking you. I want to attack Bavel. And he references how Elohim Asher Yimi. He references his Avodah Zarah. And Yoshiyahu, whose entire life at this point is involved in extirpating Avodah Zarah from Eretz Yisrael, is just totally horrified by this, that somebody could traipse through Eretz Yisrael, even though they had no malign intent as far as the Jews of Israel were concerned, just really wanted to cross through to make war on Bavel. But Yoshiyahu goes to war against Paro Necho for daring to speak in the name of Avodah Zarah and to cross through, Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara discusses the Misa Mishuna that he suffered, that he was pierced by 300 arrows, he bled out. It was a horrible scene. And very famously, it describes Yirmiyahu running over to him and catching his last words, where Tzadiku Hashem ki fiu marisi, that God is just, and it must be that I'm deserving of this fate, and Yirmiyahu cries out, as is recorded in Eicha, Ruach HaPenu Mashiach Hashem, that this was the last hope of the Jewish people. The Gemara draws the very important conclusion that Yoshiyahu's mistake, so to speak, in this was not a mistake of principle. In principle, nobody who bears the name of Avodah Zarah should be able to cross through Eretz Yisrael for any purpose. This is the bolded section here from the Gemara in Tainis. Hu eino yodeya she'en doro dome yafe. What Yoshio didn't appreciate was that his generation was simply not ra'oi. His generation was not fitting of the kind of leadership that he provided in the end. And he could only bring the people so far. And in that regard, the Gzardin against Klal Yisrael, against the Beis HaMikdash, was ultimately irreparable. So the point is not that Yoshiyahu fell short. The point is that Yoshiyahu did all that there was to be done and then some, but the damage had already been done. The generation was ultimately undeserving of everything that Yoshiyahu could have potentially brought about in terms of sparing Klal Yisrael, the Chorban Bayis Rishon. Now this idea that we saw in the Pesukim, Laman Hakim is Divrei HaTorah, an expression that appears twice in the section of Navi that we read tonight, is going to come up in next week's parsha. At least the way that the Ramban understood it. Torah tells us, you have it in the third source, Arur Asher Lo Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Zos La'Sosu San V'Amar Kol Am Amen. So Rashi here explains that what the Pasuk means is that a person doesn't keep anything in the Torah. The Ramban disagrees very strongly, and he says it doesn't say Arur Asher Lo Yaseh Es HaTorah. It says Arur Asher Lo Yakim. So the Ramban here, I just want to read a few brief lines inside then to try to expand on this point. Rabbi Shimon Chalafta Omer, this is the Ramban citing Yerushalmi. Zabezdin Shalmatan, Demar Rav Yehuda V'Ravhuna B'Shem Shmuel, Ala Dabar Zakar Yoshio V'Amar, Alai Lahakim. Amar Basi B'Shem Rabbi Tanchum Barchia. So you have a person, Lamad, who learns a lot of Torah. Limeid teaches a lot of Torah. Shamar V'Asa, they're personally observant in every sense of the term. V'Hoya Sipek B'Yadu Lahachzik, but they could have had a greater impact on their community, could have had a greater impact on their family, could have had a greater impact on the nation, assuming that they're in a position of national authority. So that person is cursed. That's what this curse is talking about. A tzaddik gamor, a chassid elyon, but somebody who's disinterested or apathetic as far as the generation is concerned. And therefore, Yidrashu ba'akama hazos, beis hamelech, hanasiyah, shabiyadim lahakim esatara, biyadim v'adim osa. Right? People like the king or the bezdin hagadol who have that kind of influence and that kind of authority, and they don't use it for the right purposes, so they're cursed. V'afilu hayahu tzadik gamor, the Ramban concludes, v'masa v'yoch lachs chatorah, biyadim v'shayim, v'adim osa, harei zohar. So a person, it's strong language, but a person who is personally, perfectly and entirely righteous, but shirks leadership responsibility in a scenario where they are capable of exerting positive influence, hareza bichlalar. So that person deserves to be cursed. And if we're looking for the archetype of somebody who took this seriously, of Alai Lahakim, right? That was his ethos. So Yoshio is the best example that we have. So going back to the beginning, now to just summarize, you know, what we said. He had every excuse not to become the person that he was. Yoshio ben Amon, ben Menashe. Number two, right? No education. So the best that he could do was, you know, just sort of respond to a directive. Losar Yaminu Smol. But it wasn't like he started out, you know, as somebody who was calling the shots or telling people what to do. Number three, you know, it starts out pretty modestly. L'chazek is bedek habayis. But once you start, right, small steps can become very, very profound movements. But it's got to start somewhere. Four, when the Sefer Torah is read, so Yoshiyahu doesn't, you know, sort of think to himself, well, that's upsetting. That tochcha sounds pretty bad, right? He is shaken to his core, and he acts on it. Vayishlach HaMelech. And again, he sends that delegation to Chulda, and her response is, you know, you're wasting your time. And he's totally undeterred. He gathers the entire Jewish people together. They say he reads them the Riot Act, but he actually reads them the Torah. But, you know, the Riot Act of the Torah, the Tocha. And then, you know, it's not like, you know, enough for him to read the good book, but the Sur Meira, the total extirpation of Avodah Zarah, then the Asei Tov of the Karban Pesach, signaling the recommitment of Klal Yisrael to the Bris. And Chazal's conclusion in the end is, this man did all that there was to be done. V'chamohu lo hiya lefanav melech, v'acharav lo kam kamohu. You couldn't have done any better. Even with respect to trying to stop Paro Necho from traversing through Eretz Yisrael on the way to Bavel, he wasn't principally wrong. Lo yada shein dor adom meyafe. He didn't understand that his generation couldn't be saved at that point. And it wasn't too little, it was just too late. Ach lo shav Hashem mecharon apo. Yoshiyahu was not a failure. On Adrab, the exact point of the Navi, when you put it together, especially the Chazal understood, Yoshiyahu was actually a proof of concept. Concept being that a person could do everything right and still not get the result that you would hope for. That you can't measure the tshuva of Yoshiyahu with respect to the result. The result wasn't, it was, the Beis HaMikdash was still destroyed. People couldn't be saved. But you wouldn't have known that unless there was a Yoshiyahu, because you needed literally somebody to do everything possible. And he did. V'ein doro dome yafe. And that itself is a remarkable thing. That Yoshiyahu proves that at that point there was nothing to be done. But he wasn't going to take anybody's word for that. Not even Chulda Nevias. Mikublani mi beis avi abba filu cherev chada munachas al tzavero shel adam al yimana atzmo yinar achamim. That you can never take no for an answer. Fate of the Jewish people is at stake. Alai lahakim. It's the ultimate sense of responsibility and accountability. And that's really the point that I wanted to try to conclude with tonight. Sort of drill in. There's so many things. I said, I think there's seven distinct pieces of Yoshiyahu that we could take in terms of our own process of tshuva. The first and most important, one that I want to come back to as a last as well, is this idea of no excuses. Ben Shmona Shana Yoshiyahu B'malcho. His father was a Rasha, his grandfather was a Rasha, knew nothing, and he was told by Chulda that it was hopeless. When you look around and there's Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, say, you know, it's easy to say, you know, like, what can be done? Yoshiyahu was constitutionally, this is the person he grew into being, incapable of accepting that. And he literally put his body in the breach when he felt that Avodah Zarah was encroaching in Eretz Yisrael, and it's intolerable, and his life mission is to extirpate that, and you know, he'll take 300 arrows if that's what it will require. So Yoshiyahu to me is shining example of somebody who felt that you can't make excuses, that everything has to be done. Alai lahakim, it's my responsibility. B'makom shena nashi mishtad lios ish. And everybody's saying it's too complicated, it's too difficult, there's too much politics involved, there's too much resistance, we don't have a consensus. Somebody has to stand up and say, acharai, somebody has to stand up and take leadership and take responsibility. And that was Yoshiyahu. And the point is not to then say, oh, but you see, he didn't succeed. The Beis HaMikdash was still destroyed. Because you don't know that until after the fact. You don't know that until after you did everything that there was to be done, and it still wasn't enough. But you'll never know that a priori. You'll never know whether or not something could have made a difference. And it's always worth testing that proposition. But so many people were looking to make themselves potter in this world. There's so many people looking to excuse themselves of responsibility. You know, it comes to the mitzvah of Tochacha as a great example. The Gemara in Arachin tells us that Kishem Shemitzvah Lomar Davar Nishma, Kach Mitzvah Shalomar Davar Sheno Nishma. That there's a mitzvah of giving Tochacha when it's going to be heard. There's the same mitzvah of not saying it if it's not going to be heard. And that principle is applied very liberally, right? People don't want to say something. They say, it's a davar shein nishma. Why should I have to stick my neck out, be critical if something's not right? People probably won't listen anyway. And how do they know? What are they, Nevi'im? The point is that people look for excuses. There's a lot of good reasons, right, that people don't want to be, an unpopular position. But Yoshiyahu stands for principle. And Yoshiyahu stands for the idea that you don't know it's too late until it's too late. V'chamohu lo haya lefanav melech, v'acharav lo kam kamohu. The Navi tells us that and the Kina says it, Mimos HaVigdor, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people never had such Torah leadership. It's a rare thing. And he had nobody to help him. He made himself in such a profound way. And so, it's reminiscent, of course, of the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah of Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, different kind of a character altogether. But you recall the Gemara, the person became desiccated and completely ensnared in terrible sin. And, he's looking for a way back, and he starts talking to the mountains and to the hilltops and to the sun and the moon and saying, you have to pray for me and you have to help me. And, in the Agadah and the Gemara, they all say, we've got our own problems to worry about here. And he comes to the recognition of Ein Hadavar Taloi Ela Bi. He says, I have to take responsibility for myself. But mind you, that's at the level of the yachid. That's at the level of, okay, that's already a madrega for a person to take responsibility themselves and not say everything is my mother's fault and everything is my rabbi's fault and everything is my rabbi's fault and everything is, whoever else, who is it? It's everybody's fault but my fault. That's already a madrega for Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya to realize that. But Yoshiyahu is like, orders of magnitude further along. He's not just saying, right, I have to take responsibility for myself. That he did. But Yoshiyahu is saying, I have to take responsibility for my door. Alai lahakim, I'm the melech. It's my job. Now, all of us are in a position to influence at some level. Gemara in Shabbos tells us, a person who's able to be mocha b'anshe beiso, and he doesn't, he's nispas al anshe beiso. Al anshe iro, al anshe iro. Al anshe medinaso, al anshe medinaso. Al kolam kulo kigon reish kulusa, the exilarch. So nitpas al kolam kulo. It's very hard to know what the outer boundaries of a person's influence actually are till a person tests that. Till somebody gets up and says, ad kan. Let me just give an example from the events of history. Then we'll wrap it up for tonight. So, it's still pretty close to these events, but, in the scope of history, I think people will pay attention, to the smichos aparshios, as it were. So, after 20 years and God knows how many trillions of dollars of American investment, when we left Afghanistan, so the president of Afghanistan, as people will recall, it was a little more than a year ago, fellow Ashraf Ghani, disappears overnight, right? So, you know, he goes, and then gives some recorded statement, basically blaming the whole world. Maybe he's right. I don't know. 6 months later, you know, February 24th, 2022. So Russia, you know, attempts to destroy Ukraine. Right. This wasn't just the Donbas or Crimea. And Zelensky gets up and he says, "I need ammunition. I don't need a ride." Alay lahakim. You know, at enormous personal risk. You know, and risk his family. If he's 1 in 1,000, I think that's conservative. You know, 1 in 100,000, probably. You know, and people are telling him, and the assessment of the United States intelligence community and the British foreign ministry is that they can hold out for 3 weeks, and he says no. And you have a nation of people that are, you know, literally willing to die by the thousands and tens of thousands, and they will not be slaves. And that's not for a spiritual cause. It's for for a national cause, but you know, Ezu Chacham Alom Ed Mikoladam. You can look at that and say, you know what? It would have been easy for him to say, what am I going to, resist, the Russian army? You know, the very prospect of it is absurd. But he said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do, and you rally people, and yet Ukraine stands to this day. So, right, so, you know, the premature claim of a davar she'eino nishma, the premature claim of, you know, what could I possibly do when it comes to issues X, Y, or Z, you know, in terms of moving the ball forward. It's just, you know, the way it inexorably has to be. So these are excuses, and they're very convenient excuses. You tell ourselves what we want to hear. Alleviate ourselves of responsibility. Yoshiyahu is the ultimate rejoinder to that. Yoshiyahu reminds us that that's the easy way, but it's not the truth. And if we're honest with ourselves, then we realize Alay lahakim. We realize that we're all in a position to influence, and we're all in a position at some point to be able. To at the very least, as Yoshio did, do all that's in our power to do, and the chips will have to fall where they may. Yoshio reminds us of the incredible responsibility, but also privilege that we have, no matter what circumstances we're born into, no matter what challenges we face spiritually, Alay lahakim, first pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, and then impacting in a very profound way society around us. Wasn't enough to stave off Chorban Beis HaMikdash, but the Pesach Yoshiyahu, in a broader sense, the Tshuva of Yoshiyahu, calls out, I think, across the generations as a mechayiv, as something that fundamentally obliges all of us never to yield, and always to move forward with respect to clear spiritual imperatives, and never to accept the path of lesser resistance, or the path of that is more facile for us to take, and relieve ourselves of the great responsibility, Alay lahakim. So with that, we'll hold it up. God willing, we'll continue on next week, same time. Hopefully I'll have the Zoom figured out by then. Apologize for the delay, and therefore for going over a little bit. And hopefully we can all be moved over the course of the next week by the example of Yoshiyahu, not to make excuses for ourselves and to try to demand much of ourselves first and foremost as possible, and then from the people around us, and try to be a source of inspiration. Everybody have a wonderful night.
Yisra kach.
Thank you.